another episode of We the People Radio. Today is a little bit less of an episode than last week because Bill's earphones all work and all that.
Yeah. Well, we got Lyle on.
We have less,
too,
so less drama.
We didn't want to have any drama.
That's right. We didn't want to take Lyle. Away any fun before Lyle got
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's true.
So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape is located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5. Swing by there and check them out. They got some great deals on compact tractors and attachments. They also do service and parts for pretty much anything John Deere, Honda, or steel. So go by and see them. Got a good inventory of generators. It's starting to warm up in California, so the generator rush will be on. So go by and see them. Their number is 226-9226, or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There we go.
Nothing bad happened.
No, it all worked. It all came out of my mouth properly.
I didn't look at you, that's why.
I think so.
I was kind of looking, but I
get so nervous.
Couldn't get my dumb page to come up today.
It still works. 24 years and it still works.
I know, we figured it out yesterday. We've been married almost 24 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. We were watching, we've always watched this true crime stuff. So anyway, we're watching this true crime thing, and these people have been married for 24 years, and then, you know, he decides to find a girlfriend, and then she decides to kill the girlfriend, and it was like,
wow.
Why does our life seem so boring?
Yeah. I had to keep an eye
after
on her.
After 24
all night.
Years, you'd think you would have figured it out, maybe, or at least not wanted to commit homicide, maybe.
Well, true.
If you wanted to commit homicide,
I kind of thought you were looking at me funny after that, and I had to kind of keep an eye on you. It was a little frightening.
It was a little weird, though. It's like, wow, our life is really boring.
It's like, honey, can you plug that switch in over there? It seems to be acting up.
That's why you have cameras in your house. It's not really for burglars.
When did you start putting a toaster in a bathroom?
Exactly. It's so close to the tub.
I know it.
Oh, my gosh. So, little window into what goes on in our house.
Never a dull moment.
Apparently there are some dull moments, but not as exciting as some of these other people. They never get that exciting. So our guest, who should make this really fun, he will make it really fun. Actually, he's probably not going to be happy, but I put a little cartoon on the webpage for today, so it's worth going to the website. It's wethepeopleradio.us, and today we're airing live. It's June 7th, 2020. And, I told him to send me anything that, you know, because we call it, what did I call the show? I called it The Politics of Chaos, because it's just been, you know, with all these protests and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, send me something I can post. And he sends me two dogs, and one is smelling the other dog, and I won't actually read he says, science fact, a dog gets more factual information from sniffing the other dog's, you know, rear end than humans do from watching CNN. I thought that was very fitting. We should post that. So, I guess by way of actual introduction, Dr. Lyle Rapacki is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist, which seems almost not correct after the cartoon, but either that or it's driven him to that.
It could have.
It could have. He probably started out,
gone around the bend.
Watching CNN? No, he probably didn't. And since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. And he receives, analyzes, and disseminates. Sometimes I actually get him on email, too. Mm-hmm. Critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and government communities. He's written tons and tons of white papers. I haven't updated this in a while, and it says dozens. So now I'm moving it up. It's tons and tons now. And we have been doing shows with him since, oh my gosh, 2016. And we have done them on a variety of topics. So, Lyle, how's it going in there?
Oh, am I on now?
Yeah.
Let me, it's your turn. Let me put my checkers down. hey, Bill, I want to start off this serious segment with the a copying of a memo that I got from Aaron saying, hey, Dr.
Uh-oh.
Anyone better than you to bring chaos to our show? What does that mean?
When I think
I apologize. I don't know what that means.
Well, I figured since you're the one with the toaster in the bathroom, you might have an idea.
Yeah, just yeah. Watch your back, Lyle.
I am. And the second thing I want to bring out to you, Bill, not to Aaron, but to Bill, is
I'm over here in the cone of silence.
When she phones me last night at like 2:30 in the morning, maybe it was 1:30, I don't recall, and she said, you know, hey, we're really sorry that the check's so late getting to you this time, but we're having a little financial pinch. I phoned her back and texted her back, I should say, and said, you know, don't worry about it. The $1.85 I get for doing your big show is covered by Pathway Machinery. They've gone ahead and kicked in $2 for me.
Oh, geez, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm trying out. I'm volunteering and trying out for spokesman for them. Because, you know, you saw me on the tractor. And that wall has been repaired, by the way. That wall's been repaired, and trees grow back. Come on.
When that check for $1.85 does show up, just keep it. It consider it a bonus.
You know, you are. That's why. This is why I come on the show, the big show for you, Bill.
The really big show.
The really big show, because I know you take care of me. And then before we
that's
get into
the chaos,
we've
been married for 24 years.
I am not touching that one.
Phil only writes checks for $1.84. Yes.
And before we get into the chaos show, I want to say hi to my Ukrainian listeners. I really appreciate the Ukrainian baskets they send me, the fruit, and there's certain things I'm not sure what they are, but I really like that. And I also want to tell my Ukrainian listeners that Latvia, is that it?
Latvia.
In the ranks.
Yeah.
The other one is a coffee drink, actually.
No. They're starting to tune in a little bit more. I think there's about 10 more people listening now. And Belarus, is that right? They're listening now more. So there's a real struggle going on to knock Ukraine out and take over the number one spot internationally.
Well, listen up. Just a word of caution. When you get those baskets from Ukraine, we've had a little issue with them because we've gotten them as well. And you want to wand them first for, you know, radioactivity.
In all seriousness, honestly, for years, you guys in the Ukraine have been like number two number of listeners behind the U.S., which is crazy. The only time anybody ever overtook the Ukrainians was when we did a whole bunch of shows on China, and the Chinese were busy hacking us, and our computers were all melting down, and my work phone wouldn't actually work anymore. I had to get a new one. That was last year. And
it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, kind of interesting. It kind of goes with the topics, which makes sense. But it's interesting to me how the word kind of gets around. You know,
yeah, they could have just sent a basket. I didn't have to go to all those
South Africa. We did some shows in South Africa. Bing! All the people in South Africa start listening.
I am a little concerned because Ireland is doing very well listenership-wise from what I understand, because I get lots of mail telling me that Ireland's really pushing to listen to your big show.
Hey, with a name like Aaron Ryan, I should have my own following.
Bill, whoever's
a Welshman, so he's kind of cutting down on my
action. I want to cheer on my friends in Scotland. They're not showing up right now on the big show, but we're going to push for that and see if we can get more listeners in Scotland.
Just do a shout out. That usually helps.
Okay, good. Well, I'm shouting out in Scottish.
I'm shouting out.
I look good, by the way. I look good in a kilt.
That's
just a word. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, a little overshare.
You wrecked the whole show. There you go.
Bad image.
All of a sudden it goes totally silent. Like, what's that?
Okay, well, now I'm ready.
Okay.
I think this is where we say, on that note. Let's do our celebration to capitalism here, and then we'll come back and
we're going to get into some serious
topics with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body. Then they go, what shall we do about them? Don't smile.
coronavirus theme song. But actually, one of two things has happened. Either it's not as contagious as it is supposed to be, or it's just not contagious at protests. I'm not sure which. Dr. Lyle, you have any insight on that?
You know, there was a virus, very serious, but it's no different than the swine flu, the bird flu, and all the other flus we've had. It did affect or attack specifically the respiratory system. But the arguments made by the CDC and the WHO, the World Health Organization, are appalling, at least, unfortunately, terribly comical, and even worse, highly paradoxical. They couldn't even get their own story straight for the first 4 weeks of this so-called epidemic. You could wear masks, you couldn't wear masks, masks would work, masks don't work. I mean, they're all over the board because they couldn't get their narrative straight. But what really was taking place here was the attempt to use a situation, a medical situation, to collapse our economy and to replace the United States as clearly now the number one economic force in the world. We were not when Trump came into office. Under Obama, we were heading very rapidly off the cliff into true chaos, not to make fun of our show today, economically.
Real chaos.
I think the figures speak for themselves, the unemployment, the bankruptcies, et cetera, et cetera. Under both Obama and Bush, the United States saw a tremendous amount of manufacturing move to China with no leverage with the Chinese, and the China became really the dominant, or primarily the dominant economy in the world. Mr. Trump comes into office to put America first and to change that stat, but also to literally put America first at home and to get rid of policies, regulations that were snuffing the life out of this nation, out of business, out of the economy. And he was doing that. Again, the facts speak louder than words. When the virus came along, the globalists in the World Health Organization, the CDC, and a whole list of other things, including the deep state throughout Washington, D.C., were absolutely appalled that things were going so well. And so they used this incident, the coronavirus, to literally pull the legs out from our growing economy and the Trump administration. I've written on this. I believe, Aaron, you know this, so I'm not speaking hypothetically or pretentiously, and I apologize if I sound that way. But I've written on the coup that has taken place the last 3 years. Trump was never to be president. It was Hillary Clinton. To finish the process of what Obama had done for 8 years, and then Bush before him and Clinton, and that was to go ahead and dismantle the United States. And that's what we've been seeing since Ronald Reagan, is the slow, systematic destabilization of this nation into the global community. I believe in past years I've had guests on with me who really were subject matter specialists in this area, and they joined me in presenting with to you all information that supported clearly, not hypothetically, but clearly supported my arguments in this case. We're seeing it again still. We're seeing a coup to oust Donald Trump. This coup is not over with. And even though things have quieted down somewhat in the last 48 hours with Antifa and associated communist groups, it's not over. In fact, there's another storm or two coming, and they will be most significant. Rush Limbaugh on a show the other day talked about the same thing, that there was a coup to oust Donald Trump. It's still going. The deep state, people like former Secretary of Defense Mattis, now
what a disappointment
former Secretary
he was
of state
this last week.
Yeah. Huh? He was definitely a disappointment.
What a disappointment.
Very, very much so.
But I guess if you're a mad dog, you can turn on your owner. You know, it's like he turned on all of us.
Especially for a Marine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Colin Powell, who is the former Secretary of State and four-star general, just yesterday came out against Trump and has stated publicly he was voting for Biden. He's voting for Biden, wow, a socialist slash communist,
yeah,
who has that type of a platform, and he's voting for him. But that's okay, because George Bush, who was the president three terms ago, also came out day before yesterday and publicly claimed he was going to vote for Biden.
It's insane.
It's actually, in one way, though, it actually makes Trump look better, because I'm not sure Colin Powell didn't just pretty much disgrace himself when, you know, he was actually in the government.
No surprise coming from him, though.
But, no, he took some positions,
Bush,
that were like...
Yeah, I don't know what Bush's deal is all about. That's just
ridiculous. About globalism.
What we've had, and Aaron did and I appreciate Aaron.
You do?
When you sent out the notice, I think it was last night, I'm not sure, Aaron, you placed a number of the shows that I've been on, fortunately been on over the years, and I thank you for that. I then sent it out to about 500 people, saying that, you know, again, I'm privileged to be on this show today. And also, if you take a look, here's a number of the shows. I don't know if that's all of them, but here's a number of the shows I've been on over the years.
That actually is all of them. I try every single time we have somebody come on again, I add it to the next one so that people can look back. And, you know, because the archives are 10 years long, and scrolling through that, I would imagine, gets to be a little... So we group them by topic, you know, China, environmentalism, stuff like that across the top, veterans.
Oh,
and then
on
each guest, we try to list them all. So, you know, people like certain people. It's like, oh, good. Well, go listen to them some more. Information's still good.
Well, that was very kind of you. And I sent it forward. I distributed it to, like I said, about 500 folks across the country, a number of platforms who I've noticed this morning began to cover or post it, so they have further distribution, so I really appreciate that. I got a note early this morning from former Mayor Ken Delfino, and you'll remember Ken. And
hi,
he
Ken.
Wanted me. Yes, he
oh,
wanted
yeah,
to be
Ken,
remembered.
Ken's in the chat room today, so he's hearing you.
Okay, well, Ken's the one that got me into all this mess.
That's
I
right.
I think 10 years ago. Yeah, remember,
blame
I think he
Ken.
Was the one who... Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He said, I think you need to contact Dr. Lyle. This is the guy you need. And you did, and I had no idea who we the people were at that time, but I unfortunately did the first show, and I've been hooked ever since. And I Ken this morning sent out to his distribution list, if you have a couple of hours, please tune in. And I've known Dr. Rapacki for about 10 years, and it might be very entertaining.
That's
he
cool.
Didn't say it'd be very, it was very nice of the mayor. He didn't say it'd be very informative. He just said it'd be entertaining. So I don't really know what that means.
He just covered his bases.
Well, the really,
I think so, Bill. he didn't say it would be good. He didn't say that. He just said it might be something that would break up the day. So I don't know what that means, but I want to.
At least you're not throwing rocks through anyone's window. So, you know, take a break from that.
I wanted to give a shout out to former Mayor Ken Delfino, who got me into this mess in the first place.
Who now, as he will tell you, lives in the Black Hills that are sometimes white.
Very nice. But yeah, I think what we're seeing over this past, let's say 10 days, if you'll allow me a little room, is the manifestation of a coup that began a little over 3 years ago, actually before the inauguration of Trump, after the election in November and before the inauguration on January 20th, they began. They already planned the Russian plot. We now know this. This has all been out in documents. I'm not making up stuff. They set out to do what they could to either make sure that Mr. Trump was not inaugurated, or upon inauguration he would be impeached within the first year. Clearly, simultaneously, they looked to see what they could do to undercut President Trump and to make him basically neutered. And they have not stopped, and they're not going to stop after this week of what we've just seen. There's more coming. Both riots and other hits, and deep staters like Colin Powell, General Mattis, former President Bush, and there's other names that are now coming out against Trump, former Joint Chairman, Joint Chiefs of Chairman Mike Mullen also has just come out and stated that Trump is not where we need to be. I got a kick out of this one, if I have a moment. Mattis wrote in an article just the other day, and I'm quoting from the article. It's called "Union in Union, There is Strength." That's the article that General Mattis wrote. In union, there is strength. So go look it up, and you'll see this quote. Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people.
Yeah.
Let's just pause right there for a second. Really? There's more. Does not even pretend to. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, where am I?
Because he's in charge of all that. He's in charge of what the whole country thinks and does. I mean, one guy. When did we ever think the president had mind control over every American? I mean, I don't remember any other presidents being blamed for the thoughts and deeds of random Americans around the country. I mean, he's just
especially when he was blamed for the virus. He was blamed for Antifa. But wait a minute. He wasn't even in office when Antifa came about by Soros. So he goes on and says, Mattis goes on and says, and I'm quoting, "Instead, Trump tries to divide us. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years of this deliberate effort. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership."
Wow.
That's out of his article that was just published. It's called "In Union, There is Strength." I'm quoting right out of the article. I'm not making this up. There's a little bit more, but it would upset my coffee right now if I began to read it. So Trump's not mature, and he's not a leader, but Obama was. Okay, got it.
The great unifier.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, if you look at, because I tell people this all the time. Like, if you look at what the media has put out about Trump, and then you look at what the media put out about Obama, it was just 100% different. Nobody's ever 100% good or bad. Even the people we really like. I mean, hell, look at that story I told at the beginning. You know, married for 24 years, and then you feel like you need to chuck them under the bus and go shoot their girlfriend.
Hey, Bill,
there is no all,
Bill,
and there is no never.
Bill, I've got an extra room over here in Arizona if you need it.
Oh, trust me, I sleep with one eye open.
and we have to take a really quick break on that.
Hey, Bill, there's no toaster in my bathroom either.
I'm packing.
Bill's on his way to Arizona. Oh my God! We will be right back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Trucks, but if it runs like a deer, man, her eyes light up. She thinks my tractor, sexy. It really turns her on. She's always staring at me while I'm chugging along. She likes the way it's pulling while we're tilling up her land. My farmer's tan. She's the only one who really understands what gets me. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
I couldn't resist. So now at the end of the page here for June the 7th, we have Lyle on his tractor. It's on a Kubota, though. I had to put a disclaimer. Bill was actually selling Kubota tractors during that time, but he is now solidly a John Deere green guy, so we'll be changing the tractor.
Yeah,
thank you.
We'll be re-photoshopping you, Lyle.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
It's the least we can do.
Going back to what you were asking me about the coronavirus, while it was a virus, it was a true virus, the response was a calculated, nefarious, hateful response to put 40 million Americans out of work, to destabilize our economy, to ruin our economic success under Trump. And it was all predicated, and they stood in front of the nation based on lies, fake computer models, medical information that was absolutely phony, and they sold it to the American public and could care less, and still in certain states could care less, that they have most likely adversely forever affected businesses and lives. The intent was not to protect American citizens from some virus, but it was to destabilize the Trump administration, this country. And maybe not this segment, but at another segment, I can go over four stages of what has been very sophisticatedly and multidimensionally planned from an intelligence standpoint. And you can see if I make my hypotheses during the show here, if it works out.
Yeah, you'll have to lay that out for people, because when people hear things like that, for the most part, who haven't maybe been following all the behind-the-scenes stuff that has happened, they think, oh, brother, these guys will do anything to, you know, make it not Trump's fault or to throw shade on somebody else. But there's a lot of information that would back up your statement.
Well, so. I sent you. First of all, you're absolutely right. And so for listeners who go, oh, my goodness gracious, here's some more, you know, crap or political spin, I appreciate it. I'm not offended by it. I appreciate your critical thinking. I appreciate your standing back to see if the hypothesis can be proven. I have not a problem with that. Maybe at the next break or something, or the next segment, I can begin to go over some details with you all. It's somewhat complex, but I'll try to simplify it.
Yeah, because we have we've got like a good solid, I don't know, 20 plus minutes until the top of the hour. We just have one break in between, so.
Yeah, we got time.
Oh, okay. Can we do it, Bill?
Yeah.
I think we're on.
Okay.
Bill's giving you the thumbs up. Can't you see it?
I do see it. I wasn't sure it was the thumb, but okay. There's four stages of subversion when you take a look at psychological warfare, when you take a look at how to destabilize a nation, any nation, almost out of a model, if you will allow me some latitude here. There's four stages. The first stage is demoralization. You want to demoralize the nation. Usually it takes about 16 years. It might take sometimes 20 in the case of an America. In lesser educated nations, anywhere from 15 to 16 years. It's usually done through the educational system. Our educational system, I think, again, and we've discussed this in previous shows, factually, we've brought forward documents. I've posted things for y'all. They've demoralized our students. They have gone ahead through programs like Common Core and have taken values out of our education.
Yep.
They've taken critical thinking out of our educational system. So we have students who are just basically numb. And they are filled then with social...
Uh-oh.
You take a look at many of the colleges today, that's exactly what's being taught.
Yeah, they've gone on a hard. You're having some kind of thing with your phone that's making you go into the cone of silence for like 5 seconds at a time.
Yep, we can hear you now.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. I don't know where we got left off. It usually takes a good generation of dummy down students, so you can then redirect them. What you're seeing today with Antifa and other 20-somethings out in the streets marching is the results of this. They have been numb, dumbed down, no critical thinking. They have accepted Marxism and socialism through the colleges in their classrooms, and they're not taught how to critical think, how to ask questions, how to solve through problems. It's a form of community brainwashing, and the educational system is one of the primary locations where this is done to demoralize a nation. Basic American values, for instance, are no longer taught, not only in schools, but even in our homes. Politeness, proper, how to be proper, how to be respectful, how to salute the flag. I remember growing up in school, and I'm older than you guys, where we had prayer every morning, and I was going to a public school, and then the national anthem. This was standard. We lack moral standards in our nation. They're quickly being removed in every facet. And facts, pure facts, no longer matter. You don't have to have facts, just emotions. And this is all part of a very systematic, very sophisticated way to destabilize a nation. You demoralize the nation. You also remove its history. American history is not taught in our schools. The founding of this nation, the revolution, not taught why we had an American Revolution. In fact, in this past week, I overheard on several interviews how Antifa and other rioters were talking about the similarity between the rioting and the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, I saw that. It's like, oh, nice try.
Did you see that too?
Yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It was absurd. The two people that I saw who were being interviewed had no freaking idea what they were talking about. None whatsoever. And to compare the rioting and the destruction of stores, they were in New York City. They had just, and the news media that I was watching, an alternative media site, was just outside the Rolex store where $2.4 million worth of Rolexes and watches were stolen. I'm not making this up.
What about the guy who lost 50 high-performance cars that were worth $100,000 each?
Yeah, and Aaron, I think you and I can go on down the list.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy.
Of things here. And they sat there, and they had the audacity, but then I had to realize they're absolutely so underschooled. They are ignorant. And the word ignorant truly means unlearned. Uneducated. They have no idea what they're talking about. To compare the deliberate Malafort thought, it just shows that our American educational system is a joke. The second phase of subverting a nation is to destabilize that nation. And that process usually takes only about 5 years to destabilize a nation. If it's a smaller, less sophisticated nation, it could be 2 to 3 years. What you do is you destabilize the economy. Well, look at what the coronavirus has done for 3 to 4 months now. There's no economy. Now it's booming back, but it's taken a real toll, and it's going to be, especially if they bring out a second stage, which they're already planting the seeds there's going to be. In the end of September. You also destabilize foreign relations. You make China the number one world order country, and America slips to 3rd or 4th place. And so you have this destabilization taking place in front of you, and the American president and the Congress just goes along with it. It's all part of a way to destabilize the strength of this nation. And then our military defense.
Well, and look at what's happening. Like, you know, there are people who are angry that the House of Representatives isn't meeting in Washington, D.C. And then I realize, you know, even when I was in school in the 60s and 70s, they didn't do extensive civics. But people need to realize the Speaker of the House is the one that calls the House into session. So all of the representatives could go back there. But the House is not in session unless the Speaker calls it. And she just blew out the calendar for June. They're not meeting again until July. And that's not done by vote.
You're absolutely right.
That's done by the Speaker.
And excuse me, you guys. And that is part of the destabilization process that has been taking place almost full time, if you'll allow me some leeway here, under the Trump administration by the deep state people. The next phase is crises.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long to develop a national crisis. We've just gone through one for the last 3 months, 4 months on the coronavirus. And then right on the heels of that, we have these last 8 to 10 days, depending on where in the nation you are, of these riots. both events clearly destabilized the economy, our government, our social life, our American freedoms, and even the Constitution, because that's what's being argued here, is that these people have the right to do just about anything they wish, unchecked, and you cannot stop them because our Constitution provides for that. Well, it does not. Our Constitution does not provide for unruly behavior. It provides for justice. It does provide for the protection of free speech, but not at the expense of destruction of the government, of private property, et cetera, et cetera. But again, these are unlearned people, and also they're very deliberately pushing a socialist ideology. The last part.
Hold the last part, so we don't have to interrupt mid last part, and we'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Lost in space, with no time left to start again. So come on, Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick, cause fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan spell. And as the flames climb high. Well, we're living here.
Oddly enough, that little snapshot of American life was not really that long ago. But look at how far we've come. Like most people, if they heard that whistle at the beginning of that song, they wouldn't even know it was a brake whistle from a factory. You know? Like, I don't know. We're old, Lyle, by the way. That was just by way of making us all feel old.
I know. That is a factory town. Allentown, Pennsylvania is a great little place.
Mm-hmm.
Been there. Along with Hershey, Pennsylvania, where the little Hershey's come, where the lamps, you probably know this, the street
lamps
are all shaped like.
Yeah,
it does smell yeah. like chocolate too. We liked it there.
It does. And the little lamps are, all the street lamps are Hershey's, little Hershey Kisses.
Yeah, everyone should go there at least once.
So your final stage of,
stage five.
Of a revolution or a revolt is?
And you're absolutely right, Bill. It's a revolution and a revolt simultaneously. The last of the four part of this is called normalization. Mm-hmm. After you have crises or a series of crises, people are longing for normalization. And so what the leaders of the crises, the planned crises, present is, quote-unquote, normalization with all sorts of goodies. You're seeing it happen now, and you've been seeing it happen publicly, when the socialist leaders of governors, mayors, whomever, promise all sorts of goodies, free housing, free tuition, whatever they can come up with, because it just it gives wonderful promises to the masses who've already been dumbed down. They're not critical thinkers. They don't realize that with these free things, what are they truly having to give up, and how are they being shifted? There's no thought process like that anymore. So they just are willing to grab the freebies, especially especially to return to some form of normalcy after going through all the crises they have, to destabilize the economy, and then to tell people, we will take care of you. It's not enough just to give them unemployment checks, but we want to go ahead and pay them to not work. Well, how long is that going to take
before
we run out of money? But that's exactly what was proposed by Pelosi, Schumer, and a whole host of these characters.
Well, they're pretty much doing it now with this $600 extra a week. I mean, we have people in our company that have elected to go on unemployment because they make way more money on unemployment than they did at their job. They don't want to come back to work until that runs out.
Okay, if you really want to have your hair light on fire, I didn't tell you this yet. There is some discussion that for the people who go back to work, who come off unemployment and go back to work, they're going to give them $1,200 for doing that.
Wow.
So think of all the people who stayed at their job who didn't do that. I mean, a lot of people had a choice, and a lot of people didn't. No, not maligning anybody who had no option there and does go back to work. But there are, I think, all of us, we know cases where people could have stayed at work, but it was more lucrative on unemployment, so they did that, and now they're going to pay them to go back to work while the rest of the folks got none of those benefits. It's like, huh.
You're absolutely right, and that's part of the goodies to undermine a strong, vibrant free market. A lot of businesses that the owners are having real troubles bringing back people. They can't get the people to come back because they're making more on unemployment than they are working. So then the other thing was to bring Big Brother into place and put it into place at all levels, local, state, national, and big government, Big Brother takes over and thinks for you, works for you, does for you. And so we end up having, quote unquote, benevolent dictators like Biden, Obama, liberal Republicans who come forward and they have all the answers. And the answers all are larger government, more involved with government, government handouts, payouts, control, whatever. So you don't have to think about it. So the people no longer have to be responsible. And again, since there's no critical thinking and since there's no history taught as to why we broke from that in the first place, we had a Boston Tea Party not to destroy tea makers in America. The tea came from England and it was highly taxed because the benevolent dictator, the King of England, was mad at the colonists for breaking away and not being subservient to him. And so he continued to levy taxes. And taxes continued in multiple fashions. And the final one was the tea. And the colonists said, you know something? We've had it. We're going to go ahead and dump this tea, ruin his product, and he can't collect taxes on it. And okay, we're going to be out of some tea, which was a big thing. But that's what they were willing to sacrifice to send a clear message that we are no longer going to be subservient to dictatorship. Well, now we've come full circle almost to a point where the schools have taught, no, no, large government has the answers. And you have people like liberal Republicans doing the same thing. They're basically rhinos. You guys will remember.
You're going in and out of the cone of silence.
On your website. The deep versus dark state. If not, I can send it to you again.
Yes, please, and I'll
post
it.
Clearly, I think you had it up there, Aaron, for a while.
I just put I posted the Mattis article, one of them, that what didn't cost you money to link into. So for those people who missed it, that is posted on today's page.
Oh, excellent. Good. So that way they know we're not making up stuff and just casting out theory.
We're goofing off, but we're not actually lying. those are different.
We are goofing off, but... so anyway, those are the four processes very quickly. I took you through it very quickly, but those are four processes, very defined processes that Marxist countries follow to destabilize a nation, to move in and to remove its foundation and to introduce Marxism, communism. And that is what we are seeing here in the United States. And it's appalling, and it's almost hard to believe that the United States of America, pause, could fall for something like this. But that's exactly what we're seeing in front of us. And it's not too dissimilar to how do you cook a frog on the stove very slowly in a pot of water. You don't turn on the heat because it will jump out. But you bring that water up very slowly, very nicely, and that warmth just allows that frog to sit there until he's cooked. It's too late. And that's what takes place here. By the time you get to the fourth process, the normalization process, where you have big government involved with everything, telling you when you can go to church, when you can go to work, when you can't do this, when you wear masks, when you can't wear... I mean, that's what's happening. And then by that time, we'll give you all these goodies as an aphrodisiac to keep you happy while we take over the whole thing. And by the time you finally wake up as you're going into the concentration camps or into the work camps, it's too late.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these things they're implementing right now are never going to go away. I mean, they're here for good, and so they've made, you know, even when the economy comes back and people go back to work, there's still going to be things in place as a result of this that will never go away.
Yeah. Plus we've done it once. That's the real fear is, you know, when you shut everything down once, who would have ever thought we could literally shutter the country?
Yeah.
But it won't be
so hard to shut it down.
I don't know
again.
About you guys, but a small opinion poll between the three of us. Do you guys think if they tried to shut the country down again, people would go for it, or people would not do it? I don't think people would fall for it again.
I don't think they will either. I think there'll be a lot more pushback.
Oh, I agree with both of you, but from a different wrinkle also. I think not only will there be pushback, Bill, and Aaron, I think there will be, we're talking about chaos. I think there will be civil war and chaos.
Mm.
I think initially America being Americans, we do respect authority. And that first month, we all did our best to stay away, stay home, do all those things.
We thought it actually mattered.
We thought it mattered. We thought we were being told the truth. We were lied to, and somewhere around the sixth week began to be evident. In fact, one of the things that...
Hold that thought, Lyle. We've got a hard news break coming up, and so we've got a little song, a little commentary on what's going on. We'll come back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Tennessee just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, cause it's all going to pot.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio. We are airing live on June the 7th, 2020. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cunliffe, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery is located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they handle everything ag as far as compact tractors, implements, attachments. Go up and see them. They can fix you up with inventory that's on hand and ready to go. Also have a full service and parts department. And if you're looking for generators or steel products, that's the place you want to go.
And do that before PG&E shuts your power off.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea because we're already seeing an uptick in generator sales. So don't delay there. Get prepared because those days are right around the corner. You can reach them on the phone at 226-9226 or online at papemachinery.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, we are here with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and, you know, we goof around a lot when Lyle's on, but this is all serious stuff. And so not to be the buzzkill, but let's connect with what we were talking about at the end of the first hour.
Yeah.
So if if you know, something like this happened again, you know, oh, the virus is back in November or something like that.
Yeah, shut everything down.
I think we've all decided that, I think the consensus here with the three of us, even though I hate that word, is that people aren't going for it.
No, I don't.
Did I kill the show? Did I ruin it? Dr. Lyle, are you in there? Was I supposed to be still goofing off?
No. I was counting the pennies from the check that I got from you guys.
From Bill.
It matches. Yeah, it came from Bill. It's $1.85, so I appreciate that. That's a lot of pennies. I think you're absolutely right. There is already, if you open your eyes and really look around, they're already laying the groundwork that there's going to be a rebound effect. And now with this, the rioting, they're stating that because they did not practice social distancing, many did not wear masks, et cetera, that there's probably going to be a rebound effect. And interestingly enough, it's going to happen somewhere near the end of September. And wow, that could really impact the election.
Huh.
How
what a shocker.
Could, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the way they think. And so, the idea here is twofold. One, let's suspend the elections and postpone those. Well, that's not going to work.
No.
Okay, you're right. We can't. All right, you're right. We can't do that. Oh, I got an idea. Why don't we do mail-in balloting? There we go. That will help everybody.
Yeah, that way. Nobody will be in
danger. And that's what they want.
Yep.
And that's what they want. They want to do the mail-in balloting, which historically has proven to be fraught with danger, problems, and bias. If not fraud. So the work continues to undermine Trump, to undermine the administration, and to reestablish the globalists, the deep state, that was well on its way to collapsing this nation. That sounds so bizarre, but it's the evidence is so mounting. And I know on your show over the years, I've come on, but I've brought other subject matter specialists on, and I believe we've made a very good argument, not theoretically and not biased, but from fact base, and we've presented the either documents or the information in such a fashion where we really did say, okay, people, we're presenting this evidence. If you've got evidence to counter it, bring it. I mean, that's fine with us. But we have shown, I think, fairly conclusively, that with the intent here is to remove the United States as the number one superpower economically, militarily, socially, morally, and then to collapse us into the new world order, the global government. And when Trump came into office to put America first, they laughed at him because they did not think he was smart enough to do it. He had no experience politically. And then also they were so secure because they had so many deep staters all over the place. And you know, Mr. Trump, it bless his heart, you know, he comes from a different world, and it's taken him 3 years. And I'm not being critical, but it's taken 3 years for him to even just, I think about a month or so ago, a couple of months back, he finally got rid of about 70 or 80 members of the National Security Council that were holdovers from Obama.
And he thought they were professionals. Big mistake.
Exactly. And, you know, it takes time to learn a new position. But if you look at what this man has done in 3 years, it's more than what presidents have done since Ronald Reagan combined. And they know this. They are petrified. And actually, they're petrified of what Attorney General Barr and Durham are going to present probably sometime in September. And that is the final documents, or the near final documents and possible indictments of a whole host of people that were involved in the coup all the way up to the Oval Office with Obama. And already the documents that have been leaked clearly demonstrate that Obama knew all the way back down what they were doing, how they were spying, why they were spying, not just on Trump, not on Michael Flynn, but on the Trump family and on anyone connected to the Trump campaign of any note, of any significance.
the fact that people like John McCain were involved and other rhinos is not lost. And as all of this comes out, what you're going to clearly see, I believe, and I think they're very aware of this, is that today our American society, excuse me, guys, our American society is divided by party and ideology in a way that we've not seen since the Civil War. And this is planned. This is very deliberate. And these riots are now the aggressive arm of what has been taking place somewhat quietly for the last 3 years. And there's more coming, I believe. I released to you, Aaron, the manual that Antifa's using.
Yeah, can I post that?
Yes, ma'am, you can.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say, I think people will find that very interesting.
I think so. It's not the full manual. It's a recruitment manual. I also released to you this morning a document. You'll see it on the attachment that was restricted. You'll see the markings on that. It was for intelligence, threat assessment, law enforcement people, and you'll see how it was marked up that way. But I since wrote you a note and say you can now go ahead and open this up and send it publicly because it did come out. It was from New York City, and it was from one of the Antifa leaders that dropped it, and it was picked up by a law enforcement source, and it was analyzed and released to selected individuals with the notation, please do not release this. This is restricted. What that meant is do not release it publicly. Go ahead and release it to law enforcement, intel, and threat assessment people, which is what I did, and you'll see that in my markings, Aaron. I think I sent that to you this morning.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to post that because it's important to see that they, you know, they're talking about certain radio channels. They've got
very
a hierarchy
organized.
I especially liked the part. Hold on, let me go. The part where they all have a role. Don't go outside your assigned. I just closed the thing so I could save it, but don't go outside your assigned role. So, you know, if you're a Molotov cocktail thrower, then you stay that. You know, if you're a window breaker, do that. If you're just, you know, a screamer and a yeller, do that. So I guess they all have jobs.
They all have jobs. Wow. They've gone through school. They've all gone through training. There are training camps.
I mean, there's tons of people who are just the fill-in-the-blanks folks, obviously.
No. This goes back to what I was talking about earlier in the 4 point, where demoralization is first and then destabilization.
Right.
The destabilization phase is where you bring people in who are very highly trained to destabilize society, a culture. And that's what we've been witnessing these past few years. What you have there is just one page of a multi-page document that clearly gives a glimpse as to the sophistication that these folks were trained in and following. This is not a group of people getting together because they're upset and they're shouting freedom now and all the other stuff. No, ma'am, not at all.
Right,
not
but I mean, you all. Still have in any given city, you have a whole bunch of people. It's like, ooh, riot downtown, let's go. You know, you always have those folks.
And that's part of the demoralization phase where, again, you've got a generation of students who are now in their early 20s up to their 30s who were not taught critical thinking. We're not taught the history of this nation. We're not taught about the Constitution of this nation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they listen to Black Lives Matter, literally a shout, Black Lives Matter. Well, wait a minute, stop right there. Black lives do matter, period. Pause. But so do white lives, green lives, pink lives, blue. I mean, what is this, Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
Human life matters. And why are you separating it? Well, because, again, that's exactly what you do. When you come in to destabilize something, you also demoralize whatever it is you're destabilizing, and you separate these people. and mm-hmm. you put them in different categories. And this is very sophisticated, very well trained. And what you have there now is one page of a document that does show clearly and sophisticatedly radio frequencies,
yeah.
assignments, the equipment. The equipment they have is highly sophisticated, very expensive, that the Antifa leaders each carry on their back. You're looking at radio equipment, $1,500 on up, that is high-tech, encrypted, very good quality. And what they were doing, and you can see this on TV, they were leading the police forces around in circles, and they would have people on scooters, and they were forecasting, here's where the law enforcement is now. Go ahead and take the mob, turn it to the left, because that will take the cops over to the left. But then what we want to do is go over to the right and start destroying buildings over there, and the cops are all over to the left, which means they have to get over to the right. I mean, blah, 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 blah. When you follow all of this, it becomes extremely aware. You become extremely aware that this is a sophisticated plan. This is not chaos. This is not rioting, spirit of the moment. It looks that way, but it is not.
It's a, well, yeah, it's
furnished
it's,
for you, Aaron.
Yeah, planned.
What I furnished for you is one page showing just that.
And I added also, that. We've got to take a really quick break, Lyle. Sorry.
Okay.
You know, not goofing off. We were actually doing, you know, something important. But I wanted to let people know you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us on the show for June 7th, 2020. And the Rioters Handbook page number is right on there for you, page 13. We'll be right back. You go. It's funny that I don't know how old, I mean, it's not a new song. I don't know how old it is, but that last line, he's not prejudiced, he's just made in America. It's interesting because the shutdown for the last, it was long before 3 years ago, but the last 3 years has really ratcheted up the carryover from the Obama era. Anytime you disagree, you're a racist and a hater. And I think they've just taken that word and made it almost meaningless. Can't call everybody a racist, because if everybody's a racist, then nobody's a racist. So, I don't know. I think they ought to focus. Lyle, back to you. Bill's engrossed in the chat room. We've lost him.
No, I'm here.
He's back. I'm alone.
Well, just as a side note, I mean, we're talking about Black Lives Matter is one of the shouts that's gone out for the last 8 days,
mm-hmm.
9, 10 days. And as I said, Black lives do matter, period. And then I said, pause. Think about it. They do matter. But sort of white lives and Native Americans.
Yeah, so does everybody.
Absolutely.
Let's really inflame the dialogue, and let's talk about babies before they're born. Uh-oh. They don't matter. They never matter.
Well, in the process, and this will stir things up probably, but in the process of allowing First Amendment free speech, quote unquote, protests,
yeah,
we had all these law enforcement officers out there to not only safeguard the protesters, which they would never believe, but also to safeguard the businesses and the economy, which they could care less about. And this past week, over 310 police officers were injured, some were killed during these so-called riots, protests. 310.
Mostly peaceful.
I will probably be doing an article on that this coming week. I'm very privileged to write commentary for Prescott E-News out of Prescott, Arizona. And then once I post it on the Prescott E-News platform, it's carried by about 25, thereabouts, platforms across the country. And I'm going to talk about the 310 officers that have been severely injured. Some were killed. And I have the names of some of them. I do have the locations, the cities across the nation. And, but nobody talks about that. And the media, there is no media. They're the information arm of the Socialist Party. Mm-hmm. They're the propaganda arm. There's not the media that we all grew up with. For the other countries that listen, I know I had fun in the beginning of your show.
Don't apologize for having fun. We can't get through this if we don't have fun. It's all too dire.
I had fun with the Ukrainians, Latvia, and all of those guys. And I know your show is quickly being listened to by a number of countries. They begin to pick up during the week, is from what I understand. And so I have a little fun to bring them involved and get them involved. But I have to tell the countries that are listening to your show and others, you need to be concerned. You need to be concerned because if the United States of America collapses, you are right there within months.
And you know, the thing that's interesting, I think they are much more aware of that than the citizens of our own country. I don't think citizens of our own country really appreciate the position we are in as a force for freedom. Actually, and people can talk about how corrupt everything is and how bad, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Great example. My nephew was in Vietnam working. And when the virus came out, my sister called and said, you know, well, how's it going? Are you guys, you know, do you guys have to stay in your house or what's going on? And he said, oh, yeah, they told us to stay in our house. And she said, well, are people doing it? He goes, yeah, because when you come outside, they shoot you. So, I mean, really different. Here, you know, they suggested it, and you didn't actually have to stay in your house. There, you come out, they shoot you. Very, very different how we handle things.
Yes, exactly.
And if these guys that are protesting have their way, we'll all be doing it like they do in Vietnam.
Part of the process that we've been talking about is to demoralize Americans and to bring up a generation of Americans that are dumbed down deliberately, purposefully. I know I'm being redundant. Deliberately dumbing them down, and that's what we've been seeing through our school systems, our education systems. They are deliberately dumbed down and redirected, and they're being redirected away from American principles and the foundations to socialism. Then you have destabilization taking place, where they actually do go ahead and destabilize the economy, social order, morals, international relations, things like that, which then makes it easy to bring in a crisis, which is what we've been seeing. You have the crises of either the pandemic or the crises and or the crises of rioting in the name of protests. And then from there, you've got normalization, which is basically to bring back some form of normalcy. Let's give away everything so we can placate people. And that's what we're seeing with these, here, we'll give you $1,200 to come back to work. We'll give you $1,200 to stay away from work. We'll give you enormous amounts per week of unemployment to the point now where businesses are having a hard time rehiring their same employees because why? They're making more money staying at home than working. So this is all part of an extremely elaborate a process to destabilize a nation. They've done it in other countries. They're doing it here in America. It's been ongoing for a while, but what we're seeing now is the really in your face of it because Trump has dared to put America first, to kick out and expose, I'm sure to say expose and then kick out, deep staters, people that are globalists. And we've talked about some of them, and there's others. We have gone away from our ideals, our principles that have made this nation exceptional. Shamefully, as a self-promotion, I wrote a book that's on Amazon called Our Forefathers Truly Appealed to Heaven. Amazon.
I will link that. I forgot. I didn't carry that over. Thanks. My bad.
Well, there's my little commercial, so maybe I can get more than $1.85 for the show here.
Good job, Lyle.
Thank you, Bill. If somebody in Lofty, I will go ahead and buy my book. It's $10. I've tripled or quadrupled my money that I get paid for being on the big show here, $1.85.
I just want you to know, I just went to Amazon to look up your book so I could link it. And what's there in big print? Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Amazon stands in solidarity with the black community. It's like, okay, I get that.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you said that. First of all, Amazon, Our Forefathers Truly Appealed to Heaven by me. I wrote that, and it's doing fine, and I'm very humbled by it because people are really being blessed by it. But the other thing, Amazon books, along with about, oh my goodness, I'm going to be in trouble here. I forgot the number. I can post it and send it to you all.
Okay.
I think about 300 companies have joined with Antifa. I'm not making this up. It's gross.
Oh yeah, Antifa. I saw that last week.
Did you see that?
Yes, yeah. And it's like, gosh, these are the same people who just burned your business down. I'm like, talk about counterintuitive. I mean, maybe we should have a staff meeting and compare notes.
There was a list of Hollywood actors that also contributed huge amounts of money.
Yeah, yeah,
we're
right.
We were going to watch something, and Steve Carell was in it, and it's like, nope, he's a big contributor. Boo, you're dead to me now.
That's correct.
We have to take a really quick break.
I'm glad you saw that.
We got to salute some capitalism here, Lyle. 2 minutes of a capitalism salute, bookended by Uneasy Rider. I thought we should hear something fun. We'll be right back.
Sat down at the bar when some guy walked in and said, "Who owns this car with the peace sign and the mag wheels and four on the floor?" Well, he looked at me and I damn near died, and I decided that I'd just wait outside. So I laid a dollar on the bar and headed for the door. Just when I thought I'd get out of there with my skin, these five big dudes come. Do you believe this man has gone as far as tearing Wallace stickers off the bumpers of cars, and he voted for George McGovern for president? Well, he's a friend of them long-haired hippie-type pickle fags. I bet you he's even got a commie flag tacked up on the wall inside of his garage. He's a snake in the grass, I tell you guys. He may look dumb, but that's just a disguise. He's a mastermind in the ways of espionage.
Lyle, that wasn't you back in your youth, was it?
No, ma'am. Thank you very much.
No.
Thanks for asking.
Was it the George McGovern flag threw it over the edge?
Wow. I guess as just a mere guest, I have to defer to the host and be quiet and not slam. Okay.
Yeah, it'll come back to haunt you.
Yes, it will.
A classic from the past.
I'll make sure there's no toaster in my bathroom, Bill.
Exactly. Oh, and anybody who wanted to find that song, that was Charlie Daniels, by the way. Just in case you thought it was some obscure artist. No, not really.
No, it's Charlie. I just sent you.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, I did. I just sent you something that I wrote, good several years ago. And when I was out speaking, I would give to the audiences. These are questions for candidates. There's five questions. And I gave them a suggestion for an answer. And I said to the wherever I was going to speak, and I've also published and posted this, and I just sent it to you to post if you would consider it. If a candidate, and I don't care if they're an incumbent, cannot really answer these questions fairly closely to what I'm suggesting as an answer, and you might very seriously decide not to vote for them or to get in their face. Here's one of the questions. What is the proper role of government? And what I suggest as a quick little answer is our founders were clear that government was to reflect the will of the people. It is the people who give government its authority, not the other way around. Another question is, as an elected public official, you will be required to take an oath to uphold and preserve the Constitution of the United States. When was the last time you took a serious look at the Constitution? And can you identify one or two areas where the Constitution is being violated today? And I suggested to audiences, ask these public officials and or candidates those questions and really assertively request answers. Question three, what are your views about public debt? What is your opinion of using debt and how it should be paid off? And a suggested answer was, our forefathers warned about debt. It should be paid by the generation that created the debt. Question four, what is your view on unalienable rights stated by Jefferson in the Declaration? And my suggested answer is, these are rights given by our Creator. They can be taken, they cannot be taken by man without coming under the judgment of God. This will tell you much about a candidate's philosophy. And the last question, share your thoughts on, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And that's a quote from our Declaration. And my suggested answer is, solutions will be based on morality and virtue. Well, I think if we began to hold candidates to those levels being suggested right there by our forefathers, I think it'd be very clear as to who really we should be electing and who we should not be. And I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, or whatever. That doesn't mean anything anymore. Just like I said earlier in the show, what we're seeing today is a society that's divided by party and ideology in no way that we've seen since the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And that's what's coming even more so in the next 5 months, is what I'm going to forecast to you from an intel standpoint. And then clearly thereafter, right after that, we're going to see additional protests that are violent. We're going to see additional undercutting of the Trump presidency in a most egregious fashion. We're going to see attempts to impeach the Attorney General and others because they can't get to Trump, so they're going to try to neuter his administration. And what we really don't have, I don't think, are people running for office or people already in office that are willing to stand up, as I'm suggesting under these five questions, and also serve as servant leaders. And that's a whole different show. We have a few. Trey Gowdy was one. We have Nunes is another today, and there's a few, but they are really outnumbered, outmanned, if you will. And it no longer matters if the person's Republican, Democrat, Independent. That's all phooey, hogwash. I mean, when you have George Bush coming out publicly and saying he is not for Trump, he's going to go for Biden. Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hey, George, you are a Republican president, and you're voting for a guy who, well, I don't know. And then Powell and Mattis and all the rest. But what you really have here are people, it doesn't matter if they're Republican, Democrat, or whatever, they're all deep state people. These are all part of the establishment, an establishment that transcends political titles. They're all part of the global community. And the United States is holding up right now, which means Trump is holding up, the collapse of the United States into the global government. And they are livid with what has happened. Our stock market is higher than it ever has been in, I think, 30
years. Yeah, the jobs report actually was good the other day. I'm sure that made them go insane.
Well, it did, because they were reporting just the opposite would happen. And, yes, we have taken a hit, a very serious hit. And, yes, as we said earlier in the show, we have a number of people, families, businesses that may not recover. This is all very true. And then on the heels of that, we have these insurrections, or I'm going to call it, not protests. And then there's more coming, I unfortunately believe. And so we are having as I've also shared in the four-point plan, the destabilization of our economy and of this country. That is part of a plan, a very serious, very formal plan to collapse this nation. And yet you have people that are now coming forward and they're casting off any doubt as to where they stand. A George Bush, a president of the United States, suggesting that Biden is the direction of the future.
Yeah, right. Not to put too fine a point on it, but that, you know, because we just said that it doesn't really matter what party you are. Honestly, look at the stand that he's taken. I mean, he's
exactly.
and oddly enough, nobody seems to be discussing the fact that he has changed his. And yeah, we grow up and we change our mind on things. I get that, but I mean, he's made wild changes in his, I guess, platform of belief, if you will. Just things that he would have been like a moderate guy. He wouldn't have been a really scary guy right now, but they have pushed him so far to the left, and the fact that he's allowed that tells you a lot about the character.
Well, and think about this, Aaron. He was the answer to Bernie Sanders. They realized that the America and even the Democrat Party was not ready for an out and out avowed communist Marxist. And Bernie Sanders is. They realized that was a certain formula for defeat. They realized that. So let's go back to somebody solid, quote unquote, solid Democrat, somebody tried and true, and yet, like you just said, they've pushed him far to the left. It's just comical, but in a black sense, a black comedy sense. I'm going to tell you also that there is murmurings deep within the Democrat Party that they realize they're going to lose the White House. What they're focusing on, tremendous amounts of money, are on five seats, five states for the United States Senate.
Mm-hmm.
If they can collapse five incumbents, actually three, some argue with four, U.S. senators from the Republican Party, they're going to control the Senate. And what that does is it really has a lot to do with appointments,
just hamstrings everything.
Confirmation. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you want to hamstring everything, yeah, take over the Senate, because it doesn't, like, well, look at what's happening now, right? So for the people who don't think that's true, look what's happening now. The House is passing all sorts of nutty stuff, just crazy stuff. And that all just goes by the wayside in the Senate, thank goodness. But God forbid they had both and the presidency, we'd be in terrible trouble.
Well, and the same is true at the state levels, where they're pushing tremendous amounts of money to control state legislatures so they can, again, invoke their socialistic program. And it's working. I'm sad to say, I'm telling you, it's working.
Well, the other thing, too, is they're looking at, look what happened in Philadelphia, where they got the district attorney in there, and also San Francisco. So plow a bunch of money into the district attorney and make sure that guy's not going to prosecute any crime, and then start a lawless revolution, rebellion, whatever you want to call it. What a great idea. Nobody gets prosecuted.
Exactly.
There's no fear of being in trouble, so burn stuff down.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And that's part of the destabilization, and then you bring in the chaos to finish it off. Basically, what I said is you destabilize it, and then you bring in crises. Same difference. You're bringing in the crises, which is what we're experiencing right now, because they've already laid the foundation over the last 15 years, and you're seeing that foundation play out on your TV sets when you have these mindless, numbed-out kids, 20-year-olds, who have no idea what they're standing for, have no idea how breaking into stores and stealing stuff really honors the death of this gentleman that died.
Yeah,
it has nothing to
totally
do with it.
It totally doesn't. Lyle, I'm kind of curious, what's your thoughts on if Biden having the ability to complete a
sentence?
First term.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that too, but his first term. I mean, we look at all the missteps and everything he's doing now. Do you think he's got 4 years in him to govern this nation?
And you have 2 minutes to think of the answer for that, because we have to take a really quick break. And
dang it. All right.
Celebration of capitalism gets in the way a little bit, but we'll be right back.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call. Stop me now. I'm having a good time.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. That's a show, don't get your money's worth. With this show, it happened out of this show.
There you go, Lyle. Is that big show enough for you?
That was wonderful. Thank you very much. You're very thoughtful, you know.
Yeah, we got your theme song after all. Better late than never, huh?
Well, no, it's okay. It's only taken 10 years, but that's fine.
Got it in the last 10 minutes. Hey, no. So is there anything we have
we were gonna address the Biden, question there. What do you think his ability
Joe
is?
Joe can't complete my sentence, and I can't remember more than 2 minutes after the fact.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yep. What do you think his ability is to complete
now.
A term?
Bill's giving me the evil eye. I just want you to know.
Yeah. He very clearly has some deficits, cognitive deficits.
That's really nice.
How can I speak that? Well, as you all know, I had 25 years of clinical practice.
That's true.
Yeah, counseling, psychology. And
so what do you think about that, Dr. Lyle?
Yeah, I think he really is showing some cognitive dissonance and presenile dementia, clinically speaking. I'm not being theatrical or hypothetical. I mean, he's got, if nothing else, the soft findings, we would say, the soft presentations of it. So if that is correct, and that's sad for anybody, but if that is correct, I've noticed just in the last couple of months even the deterioration of his speech, and all of us will slur a word or forget where we're at for a moment. We all do that, especially the more you have on your plate, it happens. But when you see somebody who struggles with even reading a teleprompter, and the words are spelled out in front of him, that's pretty indicative clinically of somebody who's having serious thought patterns and the ability to follow. And that's not to be made fun of. I think he is deteriorating. And so it wouldn't be at all an impossibility to have, they're hoping to have him elected, but then he becomes incapacitated and under the 25th Amendment, has to step down, and the vice president steps in. One of their game plans is they pick a vice presidential nominee who is clearly a socialist, which Biden has moved over to the left, and either they keep Biden there as a rubber stamp and he just signs whatever they want to sign, or he is incapacitated, steps down. The vice president steps in and really takes our country down a pathway of no return, and the Speaker of the House, which in this case is Nancy Pelosi, becomes Vice President, and that's under our Constitution.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility, and that's why it really shocks me when you see some of these people coming out and endorsing Biden. You know there's an issue there, and. How can they not recognize that? Or maybe they do, and they know what the outcome's going to be.
Hypothetically, just we're sitting here over a cup of coffee talking. I think they do. I think, again, it's a clear delineation between those that are globalists and those that are in the establishment versus people who are sovereign-minded. But I mean, when you take a look at the people that are coming out against Trump now who've been in our government, be it a former president, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Chief of Staff for the military, when you see people like this and others like them coming out now and saying that Trump is really the problem and that he's caused all this division, when you see that type of undermining, what you're really seeing exposed very clearly are those that are putting the global community, the elites, and the establishment first over the sovereignty of this nation. And I believe over the next several months, you're going to see it even play out even more clearly. Actually, I believe you're going to see it in a more sober way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Frightening way.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I agree. I think between now and November, there's going to be some it's going to be a pretty wild ride. And I think people people really need to pay attention and look at the possibilities of what's coming at us here.
Well, it's interesting because nobody's ever all good or all bad, and I would really challenge people, find somebody else besides maybe, I don't know, Hitler, who's like 100% bad every time you hear about him. We don't usually do that. You know, typically, like, we just left, when we left the house today, Chris Wallace was on there pretending that he was a host on CNN, talking to the mayor of D.C. as they were, you know, making sure that everyone knew that Donald Trump started all that.
Yeah, toss him some more softball questions at
her. It's just kind of bizarre. What? So if these guys can't get this revolt off the ground and the protests don't really go anywhere, and, well, let's just assume they're not going to abolish the police forces around the country. If those things don't happen, what do you figure? Back to virus? Russia's already burned.
Yeah, there's a real collision course within their own global establishment, because just today, medical specialists in Italy, Israel, and the United States have come out, along with several other nations, I'm reading it right here, that says that the coronavirus may be losing its potency and becoming less deadly even as it spreads. I'm reading it right here.
Yeah.
And you've got that, and then you've got the American elites who are arguing, no, we've got to be prepared, because probably come late September, there's going to be a part two, a phase two of this. That's going to create real problems. So there's a real conflict right within their own ranks. I think we're also going to see some fallout from the economy that's taken such a hit over the last 3 to 4 months, and then over especially these last 8 days to 10 days. We've been hit hard economically. I think it is a miracle myself. I'm not being funny right now. I think it's a miracle that the stock market has rebounded to almost the highest level.
Absolutely.
I don't know what it is right now, but it's off by just a little bit. But it's almost the highest levels ever after what has just been gone through for 8 days, and then for 3 months or 4 months. And then also the unemployment numbers are so more significantly down than a number of these so-called brilliant economists thought. And I thought it was somewhat comical.
Well, that's what kind of concerns me is all these things that they predicted would happen are not happening again, or actually the opposite is happening. So they're going to have to pull something out of their hat to get people scared again and to you know, blame it all on Trump. And I'm just not sure where they can go from here.
Yeah, every time a city opens up, oh, they're all going to get sick. Oh, whoops. Oh,
no,
they didn't.
No.
We had a rodeo here a few weeks back. Oh, everybody's going to get sick. Oh, no, they didn't. It's kind of funny in a sad sort of way.
Yeah, I think we have to stand by and wait. I don't think people saw these riots coming. The protests at the death of somebody, yes, but I don't think anyone, including law enforcement, saw the magnitude of the violence.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Happened overnight.
Yeah.
Now, it was planned, I believe, based on intel that we're able to formulate, and we are formulating. This is very well planned, and hence that's why I sent you the recruitment manual and that one page that was uncovered from the streets of New York. And that's, again, why, Aaron, it was marked up, restricted, but then it's been released about 2 days ago, and so the restrictions are off because it's now open source, what's called open source intelligence. So I sent that to you this morning so you can do with it as you wish.
Yeah, I posted it not as a link, but I put the whole picture. I made it as a picture. Part I was referencing that I couldn't find before was under general behavior, don't congregate with other ops or auxiliary ops in groups of more than two. I mean, they got this whole list, and at the bottom in bold, stick to your personality profile assignment.
That's correct.
Well, that seems, you know, that seems organic, right? Everybody just came together with
their
personality profile assignment all in order.
Well, I think you're right, Lyle. I don't think anybody saw these riots coming. I don't think anybody in their wildest imagination thought there was going to be the level of looting that went on in this country, which really makes me wonder what's next. What else haven't we seen coming? Because I think between now and November, there are going to be some things happen that are going to set people back on their heels.
Yeah, and I do hope people go look at this document because it's interesting. If the determination's been made to escalate, specific instructions will be relayed via 328BG. Only escalate per those instructions if and when they come. It's like, wow, again, so random. Lyle, we are definitely out of time. And so we'll toss you another $1.85 and get you on again here real soon. If that works for you.
Thank you both.
Absolutely.
It's been so much fun over all the years. And
we need people to go to the website so they can see all this stuff. It is wethepeopleradio.us. We'll have commercial-free archives up this afternoon. And thanks for listening.
This old man and me, we're at the bar and we're having us some beers and swapping night on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace and all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer's good, and people are crazy.